as I get to stand up here today, just the day after we got to celebrate a life of a man that would have been right there back in that corner chair, right behind those easels with his picture on it. This is a message that I was, we'll say, mostly prepared and ready for the Sunday that it got snowed out, or it's at least the message that was started. It changed a lot yesterday. But it's one that that Larry definitely cared about. It's one that he no longer has to worry about. He's there. He set an example for all of us, not because of his example, but because of who he followed. I dare say that we're here, we get to celebrate a follower, a believer, but a modern-day disciple of Jesus. Larry gave us that example as we should try and follow. Now, we know that reminders of Larry's passing, and really it's a passing for us, but it's a joyous celebration for him. It's a reminder that our life, it has an end. It's final. Our lives, they are but brevity. I mean, there is an end. Our neighbors, our friends, and even strangers, we are not promised any certain length of time that our life will be. The only thing that we can be sure of is right here and right now. And we have to use each moment that we're given. Take that opportunity that God's given us and use it according to his will. Just as through our life, God gives us stages. We're born and we become infants and then toddlers. And from toddlers to elementary to preteen to teenage, and it just continues, God willing. He gives us those signs. There's door marks on the doorpost along the way. You know, you measure your height. Well, Eli's downstairs, but we don't get to make a whole lot of marks for him right now. One day it's going to be here and probably about here. We'll get to make that mark. But as Christians, as we live, I pray that each day we can make just that ever so slightest mark at the least, each day. Now, I know there's days we're probably going to be like, oh, I must have shrunk. But we've got to continue. So as we've got those life stages, we look at sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we ourselves or our parents, we could probably assume, if we look back at how we were, probably were pretty much wishing away or wishing into the next stage. One of those looking forward to, oh, I'll be glad when they're out of, and then put fill in the blank. It's one of those things we know that things happen in stages. We can see that. God in the Bible, it's not extremely plain, but with a little study and a little explanation, it'll become extremely plain. God has given us many signs or stages of how he deals with each of us, with how he's dealt with this world, with creation of man. And it's how he deals with us, a term that I've learned through Moody, called dispensations. Now, these are periods or a group of time that God deals with man in a certain manner in regard to each of our sin and our responsibility toward him. I'm going to list these dispensations, and then we're going to do a brief description just so we can kind of see an overview of what this is and how they work. The dispensations, there are seven. If you can imagine that, 7 days in a week, another holy number. We've got the dispensation of innocence, conscience, human government, promise, the law, grace, the one we're currently in. There'll be one that's not an actual dispensation, but tribulation coming right before the kingdom. An interlude, if you will, Velma. If we look at innocence, it's from the creation of Adam and Eve until the eating of the fruit, also known as the fall. Then we go from innocence, we go to conscience, And that goes from the fall to the flood. And then we move to human government, which is from the flood until the dispersion at the Tower of Babel. And then we go to promise. And that's from the call of Abraham until the giving of the law with Moses. And we've got the law, which is from the giving of law by Moses at Mount Sinai. And that law isn't what Moses gave, it's what God gave Moses to give. But it continues from there at Sinai to Calvary. So you can abbreviate the dispensation of the law from Sinai to Calvary. And from there, we get to move to the dispensation we're currently in, this time, this stage of God's plan. And it started at Calvary, and it goes until Christ returns again, but not to the earth. He's going to return in the air. At that point, he's going to call up the dead. Larry's body that is with us no more, his spirit's already there, but he's going to call the dead in Christ first. Those bodies will join with their spirits in heaven. And then we, the believing church, will be called right with. And from that point, there'll be the brief period, 7 years. It's going to be not a great time, but it's going to be an interlude, a tribulation right before the kingdom. The kingdom from the end of the tribulation until a 1,000-year period, known as the millennium, or called the millennial kingdom. Just as we can see, if you think back through the stories, you can see how these dispensations make sense. We don't have to fully understand word for word, period, comma, dot, cross T, and dot the I, but we can see how generally they work, they function. God has a plan. He's got it laid out in time, and we see how he has dealt differently with different groups of people than ourselves regarding our sin. Just as we can see those realities of the previous dispensations, we have the assurance that it's going to progress. God has foretold that. It is only from God's word that we're encouraged as to what God has for us, those who trust and believe and follow him. If we look to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, those claims about God calling those dead in Christ up from the grave first, I didn't make that up, I assure you. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, he who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we, those trusting in Christ, will be with him forever. Now, I want to state at this time, we are not looking as to exactly when this will happen. That's not the point of today's message. I would love to get into that. We can start a Sunday school or a Bible study, but that's not for today, okay? Now, Larry, he doesn't have to worry about it. A comment was made, it's from Josh, wasn't it? Yeah. Josh to Chad. Well, you know, Larry's right. It's pre-trib for him. He made it. He doesn't have to worry about that stuff anymore. He's already there. Timing is of no more for him. God has foretold many prophecies, just as we've seen those of his virgin birth, those foretold many prophecies foretold centuries before they actually occurred. Now, in this case, the one we're looking at today, I think you could say millennia. I mean, it's yet to come. We are living with a miracle yet to happen. We are told in God's word that it will. Do we believe it? Do we trust it? Now, Chad mentioned that from Martin Luther, his God can become maybe not so real. Well, when we have a real God, and we also have his real word that comes from the real God, and we then have his real Holy Spirit, that's going to help to reveal his real will for us, his real purpose for us. If we look to Luke 24, 50 and 51, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he was taken up into heaven. And to follow that, right there, the clock started ticking. The clock started ticking from the time he left to the time he's going to return, to the time he will return. We look at John 16:7. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, it will not come to you. But if I go, I will send it to you. And we know this advocate is our Holy Spirit. The clock that started ticking at the time of his leaving earth to his return again, when he gets to reign as king, the part of the prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled, he came as our offering, as our sacrifice, but he's yet to be the king of this earth. It is coming. We look at John 28, John 14, 28 and 29. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going away to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. I have told you now. Now this is, I assure you, this is well before his ascension. Jesus says, I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. How many of us, it's easy to believe what we see, but for the miracle of Frank, he's seen that miracle. What if it was taken a step further? God said, Frank, I'm going to make your PSA shoot to the sky. And he pinpointed that number, which he's done in many other prophecies. He's to the name of kings centuries before they actually came into power. And then he said, Frank, this is a test for your church, for those who have faith and gather around you. I'm going to hear their prayers. And Frank, after this certain time, I'm going to put it to this number. This is what this prophecy is. It's there. God is real. God is trying to tell us in advance what's going to happen. The power that's there when he does that. I couldn't tell you what you're going to have for lunch today, okay? I'd be lucky to tell you what you had for breakfast after you told me. So we go here and we go to Acts 1, 4, and 5. Jesus gave the order to wait, to spread his message. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Oh, thinking back to the beginning of the church, I will say, when I started this sermon back for March, I think it was, I was studying Isaiah. Oh, the prophecies. But when I have to deliver it today, I was studying Acts. The change that God put in my mind is, it's not that God's word changed, just the same sermon got spun a little different. God's message is all about Acts. I mean, Acts tells us it's the beginning of where we are today in God's church. So as we've got Acts right here, the Holy Spirit is going to come on them in Jerusalem. Each of the apostles then have a tongue of fire over their head. I dare say that, what was the joke made? Well, we're no longer allowed to call ourselves Christians on fire. The fire code doesn't allow. But that's what we have to be. Just for a brief interlude here. those who detract against the Christian religion, specifically those that we fear, those that cause terror, they're on fire for their beliefs. I just need to mention that. They're on fire for their beliefs. They believe it's real. We have to be careful not to sit idly by. How real is our God? We've gone over it many times. Chad says this passage, and it's so true. It's quickly one of my favorite passages. And he called it from the back. Of course, it's on the screen too. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. That's great stuff, but let's keep going. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. There are some translations that take that word. I believe it was cosmos or cosmo, something like that, in the Greek. And it is sometimes translated as earth or world. But I assure you, there is no end to this earth. God has promised that. There will be an end. It will end as we know it. There will be a transition into God, how God wants it. I'm sure we've all heard some titles such as Countdown to Armageddon or Countdown to the End of the World, Countdown to the Apocalypse. Many authors, titles, movies, you name it. The beginning of these things, the calling up of the dead in Christ, the calling up of the church, the rapture. These will happen before the dispensation, the next stage in God's plan. Not to say the tribulation isn't part of the plan, but the major dispensation of how God will deal with those on this earth according to his will. We can look to Mark 13, 35 and 30 through 37. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. Whether it's in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. The words here were spoken from Jesus. There are many accounts similar in the other Gospels. I just really happen to like how Mark put it there. And I imagined if Mark were here to say, listen, guys, I wrote this. You should have heard it in Jesus' voice. You should have seen it on his face. This warning, this watch, is a watch of action. The type of watch that says, hey, there's a stair there. Watch out where you're walking. Be careful. Be vigilant. The type that if Velma knew and I was to sit down, hey, wait, that pew's broken, she would stop me from a temporary pain of falling backwards and hitting my head. It's that type of watch where we look out for ourselves. We are called to also look out for God and for those others that we're called to speak to share his word with. God has allowed us more time to spread the message, and here's where I say, we've got Matthew 24, 14, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. We've got John 3:17. I'm going to tie to it. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God wants other people saved. He's given us the time to do that. It has not ended yet. We are still here. Larry's gone. He's done his part. He's given us the example for us to do ours. And I tell you, there's a mirror right in front of me as I say this. this year, from the beginning of the year, I've said there's a clock ticking. I couldn't find it, I searched for it. But there was either a TV show or a movie that I seen a trailer for, and one individual was able to see above everyone's head, essentially their expiration, the time their clock would run out. We each have that. Along with that, there is the clock running out for the end of this stage, when things will change rapidly. And God has foretold us. So if we know that, and someone else doesn't, what are they going to know? What are they going to be able to think about what's happened? As he's given us this more time, if you have ever prayed for the rapture, and you're ready to meet God, let's join together. He tells us in Matthew 24:14, if you want it, get it. Do it. Fulfill what I've asked of you. When everyone has had the opportunity to choose Jesus as their Savior, God will move forward. Not that he's fully waiting on us, but we've got to do our part so God can do his. And the way we can do that is following and trusting in God's word. Now, this is serious stuff, so of course I've got a serious video.
That cursed beast liked the taste of me so well, he's followed me ever since, licking his chops for the rest of me.
He'd have heard you by now, Captain, if he hadn't swallowed that alarm clock. But now when he's about, he warns you, as you might say, with his tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Upsetting the poor captain. There'll be no end outs today. She now, she. Go on, off it. Off with you, arse. Go away, out of here.
With that, I want to move right to today's sermon verses. The ones that inspire. Acts 1, 7 and 8. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We know there's something coming. We all have this knowledge. If you didn't when you walked in, we do now. It is our call that we now know this. We have to share it. Do we fear the grave, the crocodile, the one that pursues us whether we can hear it or not? We know that the grave has a taste for each of us. It wants to consume us. Christ has given us the opportunity not to be consumed by it. We know that the grave doesn't just have, or the crocodile doesn't just have, a taste for Captain Hook, but each and every one of us, as we know that, how do we move forward? We know there's something coming greater than we can even imagine. It's foretold to us in his written word as best as human hands could, as the words that we as a people have to speak the language of God. It is at this point that there are no doubt most or all of us are aware of the final choice that has to be made before we leave this earth. the choice of choosing Jesus Christ as our Savior or rejecting Him and spending an eternity where we don't want to go. It is this choice that each person has to have Jesus as their individual Savior. We are aware of that today. And with that said, we've got a lot of work to do. The fact is that not everyone on earth knows yet. And that's what God has said back in Matthew 14 verse. Let everybody know the choice. You don't have to have made them make the right choice. They have to know there is a choice. Even with the advancements in our technology and our communications, not everybody knows just yet. It's not to say that great progress isn't being made, but it hasn't happened yet. With that being said, God is a part of all His miracles. He's set forth telling us the future, foretelling it, giving us in prophecy, and then watching it be fulfilled time and time and time again. He gave that to show His power and to spawn belief. From that belief comes our faith and our following. So if your God is real, if His Son is real, if His Holy Spirit is real, if His Word is real, then we really have to take action. Lovingly sharing what God has foretold will happen at the end of this dispensation of grace. This is the miracle yet to come. How else are they going to describe millions of people disappearing without a trace at one time? I guarantee you they will find a way. But if we tell them in advance what God's told us, they have an option then to understand that this was done by God. But if we leave it to the human world to tell them how it happened, God will be left out of it, I assure you. So it is at this time that we have to be vigilant. We have to share what we know. And today we know that there is something coming greater than us, something that will sweep the entire world at one time. And that, once they already know, and they've been foretold, even if we're gone, that seed's been planted, has the opportunity to spawn belief in them that they can see God, that they can then choose God, if that's what it's going to take. If they have to see something that big, that can be their sign. But we have to let them know that it is a sign. So I close here today. We have a choice to make on how we move forward, on what we're going to do to handle the inevitable things of life. Things of birth, taxes, and the eternity type of things. Will we be a Captain Hook in utter despair? I mean, I love, he didn't have to say a word, but the illustrator did such a great job. He feared to his very core what I'm going to equate the crocodile as the grave. Are we going to be that person that then causes a distraction to those around us? If we were out and they were trying to save us out of the water, are we going to be pushing them under so that they can't save us? Are we going to be, and I'm careful as I say this, are we going to be more like Smee, aware? Not to say that he called on the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure that happened. But his actions were those of caring and loving and wanting to protect the ones that he cared about. And those actions that he took, the one trying to shoo away and keep harm from coming to his captain, looked an awful lot like what our actions should look like if we call on the power of the Holy Spirit to go out and spread this message, to foretell and warn the people. This last page has roughly 7 words on it. But this is where I'm asking each one of you, if you have a pen and paper handy, please get it out. If you don't, make mental notes. It's not going to be a hard list to remember. Really, this is a start. This is a catalyst. This list is for names. The names of the people you need yet to invite to this church. The ones that you already know. This is the list for the names of the people you need to share this message with. This is also the list every name should be prayed for. And I ask that at some point on your list, you make a couple of blank lines and you pray to God that he will give you a name to fill into that blank line. And I hope that we can fill up sheets with it. I've started making my list. Chad's been doing this, I'm sure, for years, as he's given us examples of the friends, those that he's been around that are now saved, ones that he never would have believed and are now pastors. Our time is now. I guarantee you, not tomorrow. But we have to take action today. It's with this list. It's not to grow this church. It's to grow God's kingdom. We want to glorify God. If you want to do that, there are many things it tells us in the Bible, but I assure you, if you bring a person before the Lord and that person makes that choice to choose Jesus as their Savior, I'm not going to say you get a commission check in the back pocket. It'll be better. Your reward's in heaven, getting to see them in eternity, in a place that Larry knows all about right now. The joy that he's having. He worked here caringly and lovingly, even through the pain that he had, because he knew what he had to do and why. And that's what we're here today to continue on. Some of these things, when we grow the church, how do we, and these are questions posed, I am no longer providing any answer. This is only question. How do we serve? If we're going to invite more people here, how do we best make room for them? How do we serve them? How do we help them to grow in their spiritual walk with God? If you'll pray with me now. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the love of your Son, Jesus. A gift that we yet to deserve. We never will. But Father, we can thank you for that gift as we've accepted your Son Jesus. You promise to give us power by filling us with your Holy Spirit. Through that filling, Father, I pray that we will make use of our time, our strength, our energy, our breath to the very end to serve and impact for you, growing your kingdom. I pray that you'll watch over us as we leave today. Help us to impact this world for you. We thank you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen.